This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and today I'm joined by Mike O'Hagan again. This is episode 84, so if you want to get in touch with Mike, then go to our show notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/84. We last spoke to Mike O'Hagan in episode 72, so if you want to catch up on his backstory, then go and have a listen to that episode. Today, we talk to Mike about his growth in outsourcing through his business and specific strategies that he took with his pretty significantly sized business. And so he talks very candidly about this and very openly about where his business was when he took the decision to come over to the Philippines. So I'm sure you will learn a huge amount from this episode. And as I said, if you want to get in touch with Mike or know any more about him, then go to our show notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/84. Enjoy. Welcome back. So today I'm joined by Mike O'Hagan again. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
And today I want to dig a little bit deeper into Mike's journey in the Philippines with outsourcing, with his primary business and what he's learnt over those years now. So, Mike, can you give us a quick introduction, I suppose, into your initial journey with outsourcing in terms of mini movers and how it expanded?
Well, I stepped back into mini movers in 2010, 2011, with red tape. With red ink. We were running at a loss, and we had all sorts of problems. I had to turn it around real quick. We were running out of cash, and we looked like we were going to collapse. So, I asked my Filipino PA to go forth and find somewhere of setting up here. She discovered this thing that we now know as staff leasing or co-managed space. Essentially, that means you can hire a desk with a computer, and the company supplies the legal entity for employment. They help with the recruitment and any HR issues, and basically your worker working for you that you've selected, you've set the wages, you've done that, and waiting for you to tell them what to do. And that's how we started. We interviewed a group. The original intention was that we would only ever bring five jobs here, that they were going to be administration. That didn't happen. It became more and more and more as we got into it, as we found that the advantages were doing it. We started with plain administration, back office processes, just general O process. I remember the first thing we wrote up was our employment process. We have a couple of hundred people, 200 to 300 people a week applying for a job in Australia. They need to be sorted through every application, they need to be read, they need to be decided, do we want to talk to them, not talk to them, we've got to go back and respond to them. That's just a simple process that can be done online. That was one of the first processes we brought up. Accounts receivable, accounts payable, of course, they were pretty easy, we did that. We were going, operating here for about 6 months, and I made a decision one day that I would have a play with voice, that we had telesales, and we'd bring voice up. So I made a decision that we would start training up Filipinos to sell mini movers on the phone. It was an interesting exercise.
Was that a big step? So you got administrative work done first, and that's very common, isn't it? It's the easy wins, and it's where people feel comfortable. And then the next stage is the sales. But, you know, that's kind of Filipinos dealing with colloquial Australians, and it's maybe then a big step. So were you nervous? Did you have positive hopes?
We were very nervous about it. It was the economics that were forcing us to do something, and the desperate bit was that we would try sales. We'd been shut down without for a good 25 years. We had a 7 day a week call center, and we were running at a loss, and the industrial relations system in Australia suddenly started forcing us to pay overtime rates on the weekend, and we quite simply couldn't afford it. And it was that bit that we decided we'd do. We would just hire weekend people to do that. But right from day one, after we trained them and put them on the phones, they outconverted, on average, the Australian call centre. So it didn't take us very long to evolve that and change it out. and actually get it to work better. There's a whole lot of tricks to training them to do it. And they're the sort of things I teach on my tour nowadays. I actually have a lot of Australians coming up here and I show them what to do and what not to do from our experiences. But one of the issues we had was they're very... the average Filipino knows the same about Australia as what the average Australian knows about the Philippines.
Yeah.
We had something to do with each other in the war. It's somewhere up in Asia. It's a whole lot of islands and that's it. The average Filipino couldn't even tell you where Australia is on the map. They know about kangaroos, you know, and that's about it. And to put them into a sales situation selling removals was a challenge. They had no idea what our houses were. They didn't know what a high set house was, a low set, a front yard, a backyard, pool table, piano, tool shed. And they are very Americanized. They walk down sidewalks. They have no idea what a footpath is. So we had to overcome all those issues, which we did. We persisted. We taught ourselves to do it. And the payoff's been enormous, absolutely enormous for us.
So with your journey, you got an initial win because you came over here and the back-end accounts, they were easily transferred and you were saving a lot of money. So then you tried expansion into voice. You found that there were more nuances there and you had to do more training, but it was still successful, yeah? And then you got great results, is that right? So you were running two offices side by side, an Australian and Filipino office?
Yeah, we had a call centre in Australia and a call centre in Philippines, and we could pitch the numbers directly against each other. So our technology is such that we can see our conversion rates by every product we sell down to a tack, so we could see that they were clearly outdoing it. Listen, it's also about evolving in the industry too. This industry evolved originally with structured processes and overseas workers doing very low-end jobs where they don't have to think and just follow a process. If you look at it carefully, we were leading edge evolving into getting people that think. We wanted to hire people that can think, and we had to go and teach them how to be movers and removalists in another country so that they could sell the product. And that was a big challenge, and we got to overcome that. But there, as I said, there are a whole lot of tricks to it. But we've now got, if I like to say, thinkers working for us who really understand what they're doing. And that team is now driving the changes going into the future. The TASIC knowledge is built up here. So we didn't transfer processes up. I think that's a big trap. I think people talk about transferring processes. We didn't. We actually transferred the knowledge. And any processes we have, we actually rebuilt them here. So it was about transferring the knowledge, getting them into the groove so they could become very productive, and then building process around it afterwards.
And as you say, like, people take for granted the knowledge they know and the inherent knowledge they have. So if it's a different country, you can't, you know, people travel to work differently, the environment is different, and the nuances of culture are different, the language is subtly different, and, you know, even the moving industry, there's a lot to be taught within that. So you taught all of that, and then did you start with scripting sales, and have you moved more free thinking now, or how did you go with that? There's different methodologies, yeah?
Yeah, so... nowadays we don't have any call centre in Australia left at all, sadly. We actually have two call centres in the Philippines, and we actually have them on different sales systems. We have one on structured scripts, which is the way we always did it, and we've now got a team that does what we call dot point or conversational selling, and we're pitching those against each other and developing it. But the end of the story is that the Filipino team have taken the initiative of what we're doing. The management inside the Filipino team are now driving future productivity gains and changes from within, from here. We're doing that within a team environment. It's why it's interesting to notice that a few years ago there was a big push to do home-based workers. And if you look quietly, most of it's disappeared. And the reason it's disappeared is the bigger companies found larger groups of home-based workers didn't work very well. They still need to sit together and have coffee in the morning. They still need to go to that common office space to share and develop TASIC knowledge. So when somebody makes a mistake, everybody else sees it, and we know not to do that. Yeah. When they have a win, you all see it, and you do the win. And that's that group running and driving a business is still vitally important, which is why we still have workers in office space.
The group learning is huge, isn't it? And I think that applies to the Philippines, but also in Silicon Valley and everywhere. I think it's over-romanticized, the working from home thing. And just, you don't get as good a results, do you? And you don't get as good a progression in operational learning.
There's a lot of companies that were big noting themselves 4, 5, 6 years ago about home base. They've all very quietly shut it down and moved away. And I've talked to many of those management people inside them, and I know for a fact that they just weren't able to get the productivity gains out of it. They still need, there's a thing called tacit knowledge, which is kind of how SMEs grow. We don't grow from structured processes, we grow from tacit knowledge. We grow from a group of people sharing it, focused on it, and in all together having experiences which is continually improving the business. That's how the reality, how we're doing.
Yeah.
And we've managed to evolve this offshoring industry, outsourcing industry, from the big corporates doing it 20 years ago to structured processes of outsourcing, say 6, 7, 8 years ago, into thinkers now and knowledge workers and what they call KPOs of today, where you're getting teams here who can think and work and do the same stuff. So
it's getting a lot more dynamic, isn't it? Because as you said, in the beginning of outsourcing 20, 25 years ago, it was only the big conglomerates, and they were able to delineate a process and dedicate 100 people to a very high repetitive, low kind of skilled work. Whereas now it's being democratized, there's more SMEs in the space, and it's about getting good generalists, getting people thinking on their feet, getting people working autonomously, and for that you need an upskilling, but you're getting a lot better results from that. Yeah.
I run business learning tours here, so I have a lot of all countries, Americans, English, and Australians and Kiwis coming up here and going through, and just lately I've been doing a lot of work with startups who are building online platforms or apps. And a lot of them, so many of them, are so focused on the technology and just building the technology, when the reality is they need to build a business. And there are a lot of spaces here catering for this sort of thing, where you go in and there'll be somewhere between 6 and 15 workers. There'll be 2 or 3 devs doing the development work. There'll be 2 or 3 in marketing, generating the leads and doing the marketing, and maybe a webby and that sort of thing. There'll be some 1 or 2 administration handling the money and making sure that's happening. And there'll be a customer support team doing 24/7 customer support around their app, whatever it is. And, you know, if you're going to build an online platform, you've got to be able to roll it out. You've got to be able to run a sales process nowadays, which is lead gen, which is contacting the leads, putting them in a funnel, running them through. To do that right and ramp that up quickly, you need a large team. And we all need to build these things fast, because they have very short use-by dates nowadays, you know, very, very short. And I'm seeing lots of people coming here building their entire team in the Philippines. It's affordable. It's a cash flow. They can bootstrap the business. They don't have to go off borrowing all the large amounts of money. It's working. It's a beautiful solution.
It's amazing, isn't it? And when you just have greater affordability, it gives you the opportunity to try new things, to do things better, to market more thoroughly, to sell more, you know, to have more lead gen. And it really does open up opportunities for either a growing or an established business.
Which brings us back to Mini Movers. When I first came here, I thought I was only going to have 5 people. Got in this, suddenly worked it all out, and now I've got 45 people, because we have simply taken off with a tangent and built a whole lot of stuff we could have never dreamt of. Because of the low wages and smarter people.
And it's funny, the reason why you started your telesales was because of the cost, if you couldn't maintain them on the weekend. Mm. The reason why I first came here is because I had a hospitality company, and very early on I realized I needed 24/7 staff cover, and that was completely commercially unviable in the UK. Whereas you come to the Philippines, and not only is working 24/7 shifts socially acceptable, it's super affordable. And you know, it's almost maybe the same in Australia, but in the UK, people, you could not drag someone into work over a 24-hour shift. They, you know, like sort of night shift. Well, whereas here, it's very normalized, isn't it? Because of the different time zones, and they're covering the US time zones. It's so normal here.
There's 1.2 million Filipinos currently working in the Philippines for Western businesses. Of that 1.2 million, 75% of them are working for American companies. Now, that means that 75% of them are starting work at 10 o'clock at night and finishing at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Mm.
It's easy to get 24-hour service people here. They're completely used to it.
It's normalized, isn't it? And actually, there's a huge part of the society that actually enjoy working over the night shift because they avoid traffic. They can spend time with their family during the day. It's quite normalised.
Well, as with everywhere, there's a loading because of overwork. They earn more money and they're used to it, and it's completely normal. So that yes, 24/7. Same with different languages. I have a lot of business friends coming up here, and they discover that they can develop their product into different languages. The Spanish is very easy to get here, and various other languages, and you can really easy ramp out. And if you're an Australian, you want to sell into America, this is the place to come, because these guys are more American than we are. They're very easy to get Filipinos to sell into America and build a platform for that can hit the States. Very, very easy. There's a lot of advantages in coming to the Philippines.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely correct. And we'll wrap up now. But that is a good point that you make. I also preach that if you set up in the Philippines and you're effectively an international business already, and then it makes it even easier to branch out into different markets. So you're not just stuck in Australia. You can easily branch out to the US, UK, because you have an international hub. Exciting. So thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Mike, and if you want to get in touch with Mike, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/84 for his contact details and full information and also show notes. And if you want to ask us anything, if you want to know anything about Outsource Accelerator or anything we do, or just have a question, then email us at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.